Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Vacant buildings are a problem for any metropolitan area, and St. Louis is no different. While the question of tear it down or rehab it often comes down to dollars and cents, considerations for what makes sense beyond a single edifice almost always plays an important role. Plans to save endangered historic buildings from the wrecking ball and turn them into valuable community assets are underway in St. Louis. There are two such efforts for properties on Olive Street, just a stone's throw from our station. And a couple weeks ago, Landmarks Illinois released its 2025 list of most endangered historic buildings, and it includes two in our listening area, one in East St. Louis and another in Madison County. Joining me from Joliet, Illinois, to discuss that is Quinn Adamowski. He's a regional advocacy manager at Landmarks Illinois, and he covers areas of the state outside Chicagoland, including the Metro East. Quinn, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, Quinn, other than dollars, which we mentioned in the introduction, what is the cost of tearing down historic buildings once they become an eyesore?
Well, there's a lot of losses. First, we're losing our cultural heritage and our history, our shared history. Communities lose the ability to generate new revenues, tax revenues, property tax revenues. And oftentimes when buildings come down, there's not really a use for an empty parking lot, which can lead to blight and further disinvestment in the community. So there's a lot of domino effects when a building comes down. Oftentimes buildings come down needlessly, because there is, when you look at it through the lens of economies of scale, you can make the case that investing in the building to give it a future is about the same cost oftentimes as demolishing the building.
Mm-hmm.
And so when communities choose to do that, they're giving up a resource that was already existing, that is vertical infrastructure that at some point somebody invested time and dollars into. And so when we lose buildings, we're losing our past, we're losing our present, and we're losing the ability to invest in our future.
Mm-hmm. So insofar as a building making it on your endangered list, what are some of the factors that come into play? Is it that those buildings are slated for demolition or are very close to that?
Oftentimes the buildings that we list or the places we list, yes, they are in peril of demolition oftentimes, but not always. The primary factors in what we choose to list is that the place is important to people in the community. That is by far and away the most important factor. Secondly, that there is a group of people at a local level who are advocating for its reuse. So those are the two primary factors. And I think the third is, what does the reuse look like?
Mm-hmm.
Does it have a future for the community? Could it be housing? Could it be a museum? Could it be an interpretive center?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of factors that go into it. They're not all slated for demolition. Obviously, there's buildings all around the state that are in bad condition. So really the question is, does it bring people together in the community, and has the community identified it as an important piece of their shared history?
Mm-hmm. And so that importance that you mentioned, is it designated by Landmarks Illinois and, you know, similar organizations, or is it really coming from the people who are members of the communities in which these buildings are found?
We don't give any building or place designation. Really, our role is to work with people on the ground who've identified a key resource in their own community, and to help give them a voice, to provide guidance, to provide advocacy measures, technical assistance. Now, of course, at a national level, there may be a designation placed on it. The Historical Society in Illinois may have placed some sort of designation on it.
Mm-hmm.
But really, whether or not a building is designated is kind of irrelevant to the work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
It does not matter to us what the opinion necessarily of other organizations is. Really, what matters to us is what is the opinion of that resource for the people on the ground.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to get to a very specific example of this. And we're going to talk about one of the buildings on the 2025 Landmarks Illinois Endangered Buildings List in East St. Louis, but one that does give us a picture of what a renovation over demolition looks like is the Broadview Hotel, which is now called the New Broadview Senior Living Facility. Quinn, can you tell us about the old Broadview Hotel, specifically how it went from dilapidated and vacant to what it is today?
I'm not that familiar with the building's history, other than it was a hotel at one point, and then a university occupied it for quite some time. And then it became vacant, and it sat for a very, very long time,
mm-hmm.
Until a developer, you know, had the gumption and the tenacity to want to turn it into housing. And so now today it is 110 units of affordable senior living. And it's a remarkable story, because during the groundbreaking, the mayor indicated this a couple of years ago that it was the largest investment in private investment in East St. Louis in decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that largely tells the story about how preserving old structures for new use brings private investment into a community.
Mm-hmm. That investment part of it, what does it take in order to renovate or revitalize buildings like the old Broadview Hotel? I mean, where's the time and the money coming from?
That is a wonderful question. And, you know, it would be disingenuous to suggest that adaptively reusing buildings is easy or cheap, because it's not. So oftentimes these projects require a lot of creative thinking. It requires local government to want to get behind it, to support it in some measure. And then ultimately, you know, you have to pay for it. And that comes from private investment. It can come from tax credits. It can come from local incentives. There's a whole host of different finance mechanisms that developers have to stack together in order to make a project like that work.
Mm-hmm.
But once it does work, and you do have that building back online, then again, now you're generating interest. You have a population of density. You have people spending dollars. You have tax dollars coming in vis-a-vis sales. And so ultimately, what we see from an economics perspective is that when communities prioritize preservation of their historic buildings, the resources more than recouped. In fact, for every dollar of tax credits that goes into a building, there's about $10 in return for local and state government.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just really depends on each community and what incentives they have in place, and whether or not they've explored all these different options for financing. And of course, there's always a possibility for state grants to play a role.
Mm-hmm. As we talk, I am looking at an image of the Spivey Building, which holds the distinction of being East St. Louis's first and only skyscraper. And it is one of the two structures that have made it onto the 2025 list of endangered buildings for Landmarks Illinois. Now, this building, which was built in 1927, has sat empty now for about 40 years. It is 12 stories, and the image that I'm looking at now shows that there is graffiti on the sort of the upper five or so levels of the building. And it's clearly a building that used to house quite a lot. And the Spivey is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. But again, this building is in danger of demolition. What do you know about the Spivey Building and how it looked in its heyday? And when we say that it's vacant, is it merely that it is empty, or are there other ways in which it is an eyesore and possibly even a danger?
The Spivey Building is an interesting case study when we consider what makes a most endangered property, because whatever peril there may be, threat of demolition, deferred maintenance, open windows, lack of roof, whatever could possibly be wrong with a building, that's what the Spivey represents. But the Spivey also represents hope, because, you know, being built at the time right before the Great Depression, it was during the height of East St. Louis, and before the decline that came, you know, years down the line. And at first, it was part of a newspaper, and then it had multiple different uses over the years. And in its heyday, it was a spectacular building. The pictures that we've seen really just underscores what the Roaring Twenties was all about, mm-hmm. right? And then the decline of the building mirrors the decline of the community. And over time, there's not much left. There's no windows, there's no roof, there's no mechanicals. It is literally an empty shell, but it has good bones and it has a good structure. And so it's in such poor condition at this time that listing it, we actually struggled a little bit with listing it, because the question was, does it indeed have a future? Mm. Will somebody be able to invest the dollars into it? And talking with folks who do that work, the answer was yes. If there's a plan put together, that building can definitely have a future.
And what are some of the ideas that have come forth from community leaders about the potential of the Spivey Building?
I think the Spivey Building mirrors the new Broadview, given the way that it's designed, given the density that it would allow for. I think its future is affordable housing of some kind, mm-hmm. whether that be just standard affordable housing or senior affordable housing. And the first floor, really the first two floors, offer a great opportunity for commercial space, which is sorely needed in that part of East St. Louis. And it's not too far from the new Broadview. And one of the interesting concepts that has been discussed locally is if the Spivey Building can be redone, and that is housing as well, and you were right across from the Broadview, then that area of town could be revitalized for the community, create mm-hmm. community spaces. You know, then you're talking about placemaking and parks. And that's part of the power of preservation, is providing housing for people that then leads to demand for other sorts of resources and amenities. And that's how community revitalization happens, is by using the historic resources you already have.
Mm-hmm. And on the note about the view, there is a photo that I'm looking at, and I'm not sure whether it's from the middle part of this building, but you can clearly see the arch from there. So the extent to which, you know, there's a story that has to do with East St. Louis, I believe there's also one that has to do with our region as a whole. Now, very quickly, another listing on this year's Landmark Illinois Most Endangered Building list is actually a collection of barns that once had murals painted on them to advertise the Meramec Caverns. What is it that community leaders and advocates have said about these buildings? Would restoration have to do with repainting these murals, or is there something different there?
The Meramec Cavern Barns is also a very interesting case study. The main impetus behind us wanting to list them is that, yes, they're historic. They're historic barns, and we see barns disappearing across the landscapes of all of our states. And these had this idea behind tourism and Route 66. We felt that talking with the Illinois Route 66 Association and the Scenic Byway, that these bring a lot of value and a lot of interest. They're throwbacks, so to speak. You know, prior to the 1970s, this was very common for companies and organizations to use barns as advertising. And then the federal government passed a law that banned the continuation of that. And so slowly, these have been disappearing from the landscape as well. And we feel, as an organization and our partners feel, that these needed to be highlighted because of their importance, because of the nostalgia that they bring, because of the storytelling potential around them. As for repairing them or rehabilitating them, these are on private property. And so it would require the building owner, the farm owner, to allow for some sort of restoration or to take it upon themselves. And so right now what we are doing is we are trying to identify other barns throughout the state. Mm. And then from there, we will start developing a plan about how to tackle them and try to work with the owners to see if there's a way to rehabilitate them, to keep them, you know, for the next 30 years.
Mm-hmm. As we wrap up here, Quinn, is there maybe an example of one of the buildings that has been on the Landmark Illinois endangered, most endangered building list that has been saved, and where you have heard some kind of anecdote that comes from community members around that building that demonstrates just how important this kind of preservation work is?
Thank you so much for that question. We've talked about the new Broadview and what that's meant to East St. Louis. It's a very, very powerful project. And talking with the Community and Economic Development Director, you know, the city is really excited by its future. Of course, there's a lot of different success stories. And for your particular region there in Metro East, what was called Hotel Belleville in Belleville, Illinois. Mm-hmm. That was a property in their downtown that sat vacant for a very long time that the city actually started making moves to demolish. And people came in at the 11th hour and said, well, wait a minute, let's take another look at that before we start tearing this down. We may have a solution. And so that building has been redeveloped into senior affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And it's helped create more interest in downtown Belleville, leading to, you know, other businesses popping up. Another one in Millstatt, this one is very interesting because it's not a building, it's an old water tower. Oh. And that was slated for removal and demolition. And a group of people got together on the ground and they literally bake sailed their way to raising the funds to do a restoration of it. Mm-hmm. And so now it was completely restored and painted, and it's again a shining beacon of hope in Millstatt. Mm-hmm. And those are sorts of the projects that we love so much because Landmarks Illinois helped them, but they did the work. You know, that's what's so interesting about historic preservation work is that you're working with people at a local level who have decided that something is really important to their community or has, you know, historic value and future value. And then you can work with them and watch them succeed and provide the resources to them to try to help them advocate for those places. And so when we think about a Hotel Belleville or we think about the Broadview or we think about the water tower, you know, these are places that could have not been there. Mm-hmm. In fact, they were slated to not be there, but instead that they are, and they're generating new interest. And that's the power of historic preservation and adaptive reuse.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll look forward to looking up those images after today's show. Quinn Adamowski is a regional advocacy manager at Landmarks Illinois. Quinn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.